Well, welcome into a Friday the 13th audiocast from AvWeb. Today's audio is sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. Well, every year about this time, we hear about the mysterious disappearance of Amelia Earhart. Was she taken prisoner by the Japanese only to die or be executed in captivity? Or did she and her navigator Fred Noonan and their specially outfitted Lockheed Electra simply vanish into the vastness of the South Pacific? David Billings, an aircraft engineer in Brisbane, Australia, says he has hard evidence that strongly suggests that the Electra and the 70-year-old mystery it contains is under a mat of jungle in New Britain Island off New Guinea. AvWeb's Russ Niles asked Billings about the evidence, why it's important that we put the Earhart story to rest, and the relatively modest effort that would achieve the goal.
Talking with David Billings, an aircraft engineer near Brisbane in northern Australia, he thinks he knows where Amelia Earhart's downed Lockheed Electra is, or at least he knows the area where it is, and he's been mounting an effort to launch an expedition to go and find it. How are you doing so far, David?
Well, Russ, we've been in there 10 times, and we've been unable to locate or relocate the aircraft wreckage seen by an Australian patrol in April 1945. The patrol in 1945 was a reconnaissance patrol, and their orders were quite clear. They were to follow the southern bank of a river and reach a point at 1600 hours on the second day, and then they were to cross the river and return by the northern bank of the river. But they failed to do this because the river was in flood. There was also a complication in that they'd been told over their radio that they were being followed by a group of Japanese soldiers, because footmarks of the two-toed Japanese sandal had been seen in the mud by a relieving patrol who had brought the original 20-man patrol a replacement radio, because their first radio they had was not working. So on the second night out, the patrol heard over their radio that they were being followed, and because they had not crossed the river, they decided to return by a different way so as not to be ambushed on the way back. And it was on this different way back, which they called the alternative route, that they bumped into aircraft wreckage.
You've uncovered some evidence that this may be the wreckage that carried Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan on their way to, Howard Island?
Yeah, she was flying out to Howland Island, but we believe that she did fly out into the Pacific, but turned back when she was unable to find Howland. And at that time, in 1937, there were no airstrips out in the islands between what is now New Guinea or Papua New Guinea and Howland Island. There was no airstrips on the Solomon Islands, for instance, and no airstrips in the Gilbert Islands. So the only airstrip between Leh, which was her takeoff point, and Howland Island was actually situated at Rabaul. There were two airstrips at Rabaul. So we believe she turned back and was probably heading for Rabaul, because this wreckage that was seen in 1945 is about 40 miles from Rabaul. It's actually to the southwest of Rabaul in the jungle.
David, why do you think this was Amelia Earhart's aircraft?
Okay, well, in 1993, one of the patrol veterans who had always wondered whose aircraft it was met up with another veteran from the same unit, and the second veteran had kept a map for 48 years, which had been used by the patrol. This veteran, Len Willoughby, was due to go into hospital for an operation, and he said to Don Angwin, the first veteran, "I saw your story in the West Australian newspaper about that wreckage that you saw in the jungle in 1945, and I've got a map from that time, which I brought back with me from New Guinea when we returned to Perth, so I'll send it to you." Len Willoughby did send Don Angwin the map, and Don opened the envelope and saw that it was a map of the area that they had been in, and refolded the map and put it away with his papers. And then in August 1994, I was due to leave New Guinea, leave Fort Moresby and go to Perth because we had an aircraft there on maintenance, and I was the assigned quality assurance inspector. So I went down there and met Don, and in the meantime, he'd brought the map out, because it was the only thing he had to show me, and he removed some sticky tape, which he described as old wartime masking tape, off the edge of the map, and some writing came into view. And that writing refers to the patrol, but it also has a reference on the map edge, and the writing says, reference 600 horsepower S3H1 CN1055. This string of letters and numbers is quite significant, because for a 600 horsepower engine designated as an S3H1 is actually a Pratt & Whitney Wasp engine, an R1340 S3H1, which was a direct drive engine. It didn't have a reduction gear on the front of the crankcase. And the CN1055 is significant because that means construction number 1055, and it is what we now call a manufacturer's serial number, MSN, it's referred to today. But in those days, they called it construction number. And 1055 is actually Earhart's Electra. It's a Model 10, and it was the 55th built, hence it had the serial number 1055. That is documented.
You've been there 10 times, you haven't found it, you've got the map. What do you need to actually go out and find the aircraft?
Well, for anybody that's not been into that particular jungle, I could just say that the task is quite daunting. I've been into, when I was aircrew and was doing jungle training in Singapore in 1966, there was still some jungle left in Singapore, and that was the thickest I'd ever been into. And I've been into the jungle in Malaya, up on the Malayan Peninsula, and I've also been into the jungle in Borneo. And the jungle in East New Britain is the thickest I've ever been into, and this is compounded by the terrain, which ranges from flat to very, very steep very quickly, and you find yourself climbing hills which rise almost at 45, 50 degrees ahead of you. So it's quite, the terrain is terrible, and the jungle is quite thick. We're cutting all the time. And I believe now that after 70 years, this wreck will be totally covered in fallen foliage, probably even fallen trees. And so we need some technology on the job. And in 1994, I was told by a very well-known geoscience company here in Australia that they would be able to find the engines with a magnetometer survey carried out by a helicopter flying at low level over the trees. So that's the funding I need. It's the funding for that magnetometer survey.
How much funding are you looking for?
I'm looking for about $150,000, of which $100,000 will have to go to the survey company for the magnetometer survey. The rest of it will be for contingency if we need to extend the area, if we don't find the wreckage in the first couple of days. Because we can cover quite a bit of ground. The helicopter has to fly at about 60 knots over the jungle canopy, and at the moment we're basing the search area on an area of about 2 square kilometers on one particular area. But if we don't find it within that 2 square kilometers, we will have to extend out the borders, and that would involve a lot more area. So we have to have a little bit more cash on hand just in case we have to pay for more helicopter survey.
Why is it so important that we find Amelia Earhart's wrecked Electra?
Why is it so important? Well, in 1968, I went down in a helicopter in Borneo. I'd done a four-engine flight engineer course, and then I was posted onto helicopters for confrontation when General Sukarno was trying to take over Sarawak and Sabah. When the new country of Malaysia was formed. And in 1968, we were still in there in the jungle operating and basically on training exercises then, because the confrontation had actually ceased. But on one training exercise, the helicopter I was in had an engine failure and went down into the trees. And I asked myself then, fortunately we were picked up, but I asked myself that if I'd have been killed, who the hell would have come looking for me? And so I said, that if I was ever in a position where I was able to find downed aircrew, I would do it. And that opportunity came in 1987 when I was working up in New Guinea, and a report came in to the helicopter company that I was then working for that a large wartime aircraft wreck had been seen up on a hilltop at about 11,000 feet. So we borrowed one of the company helicopters and went up there to have a look, and we found a B-24, which had crashed in, I think, 1944, and the crew had set off from Nazab on a bombing run and had actually hit a mountain at about 10,500 feet with the full bomb load. So that was the first one that I went looking for, and I found another one outside of Leh, which had hit a hilltop on its return to Nazab and it had exploded completely. So I'd been up there for 2 years by that stage, and I'd found two wrecks and brought closure, I hope, to the families of those people on those airplanes. And then when the opportunity came to possibly look for Earhart's aircraft, well, I was mind blown. My wife found the article in the Brisbane newspaper at Christmas 1993, and when I went back up off leave back up to New Guinea, I joined the project, and we did our first trip in there in September 1994. So we've been going in there since 1994 on foot for about 2 weeks at a time, looking, searching in the jungle in the likely places. But it's so thick in there that you can only see 20 feet sometimes. It gets very, very dark in there as well, under the canopy. So that's my interest, and basically it's because I went down in 1968 in a helicopter into jungle that I do this now. But searching for Earhart's aircraft, my goodness, I mean, that's the holy grail of aviation. Biggest aviation mystery in the world, and solving that would be, well, it just... mind-blowing.
David Billings, an aircraft engineer in Australia who wants to solve the Amelia Earhart mystery. That was a great one for Friday the 13th, don't you think? Hey, for the latest breaking aviation news, log on to our website at www.avweb.com. If you haven't logged on in a while, you're going to like our new look. To comment on today's program, just drop us an email, audionews@avweb.com. And today's report was sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for Avweb next audio cast on Monday, July 16th. Mike Blakeney for AvWeb Audio. We appreciate you listening today.